from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Come, buy, eat, listen, delight, seek, call. Our scripture this evening is full of commands, of imperative words that are telling us and the people who first hearing Isaiah what to do. They're repeated over and over again throughout our scripture, giving the words that we read a clear connection of choice and of action. But what are these words really telling us to do? What choices are we called to make, and what actions are we really being called to take? Let's first look at the people that Isaiah was originally talking to and what their expected response to these words would have been. Isaiah here is talking to people who are in exile, people who have been forced out of their homes generations ago. The exile is coming to an end, and it's almost time for them to return home. The problem, though, is that very few, if any of them, would actually remember what this old home is like. Sure, they've probably heard stories from the older generations while they were growing up of home, of the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, but they've never seen it. They don't know what it's like. And so while it might sound good, they don't consider it to be their real home. So what Isaiah is promising them here is that it's going to be okay to go back, that things are going to be good, that they're going to have enough food, both physically and spiritually, that all they have to do is come, buy, eat, listen, delight, seek, call, and God is going to be there for them. God will love them where they are now and when they go back to the promised land. God is going to be with them wherever they are. And both now and in the future, God is going to make sure that they are fed. And because of that promise, Isaiah wants to make sure that the people do not settle for less than what God is promising them. So the scripture tells them, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? The scripture is telling us that we all have the opportunity to receive the best from God, the best of love, the best of grace, the best of mercy, so why would we settle for anything less than the best? For the people who Isaiah was originally talking to then, they're challenged to make the choice to follow God, to believe in this promise from God that they will be fed, cared for, and loved, even as they journey into what has become for them the unknown. But what about us today? What does it this passage have to say about our lives? After all, we aren't really in exile waiting to return to a land that we have only heard about, but that is supposed to be so much better than where we are now. But I think there are some things we can draw from this passage. While we might not be in the same land issues as these people, are there not times when we struggle to believe promises from God? When we doubt the love of God will be there feeding us in our spiritual lives? When we fail to seek God and fail to follow the path that God has set for us? When we settle into a type of moral and do-good life thinking that we earn everything on our own? When we forget that the love of God is actually free and costs us nothing? I think this whole concept is sometimes a little hard for us to understand because it's so rarely in life that we get things for free, especially free and the best of quality. And yet this verse tells us that everyone who thirsts just comes to the waters, and that you who have no money come and eat. This is much different from most memories and experiences we have of how life works. Instead, we just hear all the time that there's no such thing as a free lunch. Yet, when I was in seminary, we would often receive food that was free. We had this community kitchen in our seminary dorm that became somewhat of a holding ground for free food. It was often stocked with half-eaten leftovers from seminary events or various selections of cold pizza left over from people's youth group parties. Needless to say, while the food was free, it was often what you might expect when you hear free food. It was never really the best quality. It had often spent hours being a little too cold or a little too hot for what the temperature was supposed to be, adding kind of a dangerous aspect to eating it. Yet once a week, it was known that we were going to get some free food of good quality. Like many students at seminary, we had quite the large population of Starbucks employees. Every Sunday night at Starbucks, they would clean out all the food set to expire in the next week and restock with new food for the upcoming week. And somehow, our seminary became lucky enough to be the recipients of the unbought Starbucks food, which was great mostly because while Starbucks food is good, it's also ridiculously overpriced. And so it was with great joy that you could eat a pastry or a breakfast sandwich for free, knowing that the average person was paying like 10 bucks for it. The challenge of this, though, is that sometimes because this is so rare in our own lives to receive something like this for free, we often ignore or fail to see that the free love and grace of God is continually being provided for us, and we forget to be fed. And we all know how bad things can be when we get hungry. When I was growing up, my older sister and I were, on the whole, pretty good kids, that is, until mealtime came around. That's because my poor parents, as I now realize, had the worst combination of children possible when it came to eating. On one hand, they had me, a pretty content and easygoing kid, except for the fact that I was a very picky eater. And so I was well known to throw most temper tantrums around food, whether it be something I didn't like, a restaurant I didn't want to go to, or if I just didn't feel like eating when everyone else was. On the other hand, though, at the same time my parents were dealing with me, they had my sister, who was also a pretty content and easygoing kid until she got hungry. And then she just got super mean, like really angry, not just about wanting to eat, but at the entire world. So while my behavior never got a name, my sister's did in society, she became what's known as hangry. A mix of hungry and angry. Luckily, there's an easy cure to being hangry. You just have to eat some food. And so this week, as I was thinking about all this being fed stuff, and thinking about Isaiah and what he really means when he says, "Everyone who thirsts comes to the water, and you have no money, come and eat," I realize that sometimes we can get a little hangry in our faith as well. Sometimes we get a little disconnected from God. We fail to come to drink of God's love and to feast on God's grace. And so we don't worship as much. We don't pray as much. We stop seeing the needs of those around us and serving them. Or we disconnect from our Christian community. And so we start to get a little grumpy. We start doing things that we know are wrong. We become a little hangry in our faith. But the promise of this passage is that there will always be food for us to return to. That whether we're in the midst of exile like the Israelites, or we're distracted by our own busy lives, or we're struggling with brokenness, or being tempted to follow a path we know is wrong, or whatever it is that's making us a little hangry, that invitation to return is always there. In this season of Lent, it can be the perfect thing to stop being so hangry. Because a Lent is a season for those who are hungry and thirst for a deeper relationship with God. Lent gives us the time to come, to eat, to buy, to listen, to seek, and to call. It gives us the opportunity before our celebration of the death and resurrection of Christ to be fed. This feeling happens when we, as the scripture tells us, incline our ears and go to God and listen so that we may live. We listen and we seek and call in many different ways. We have the opportunity to come together and worship, praising God. We can seek God in prayer and in reading of scripture. We can call upon God in moments of both great joy and great distress. We can take time to pray. We can take time to serve others. Because being fed means following Christ. It means living a life that both receives and shares the love and grace of God. And so it's in this spirit of seeking to be fed that we come to the communion table this evening. Because when we gather together, when we partake in the bread and cup, we're being fed by the grace of God. Because all those imperative words that we talked about are in our scripture, those words, come, buy, eat, listen, delight, seek, call, those words are still true for us today. The promises of God are true for us today. The steadfast love of God is true for us today. And so we come to the Lord's table to be fed because we have been called by God.